Tuesday in July 1989, my agent rang. They want you to audition for Red Dwarf, she told me, for the part of Holly. Norman would apparently not be playing the part in the next series. My appointment was for 11:30, but to make sure I wasn't late, I'd written it down in my diary as 11, and my watch was, as usual, 10 minutes fast. I've got you down here, said the receptionist, but you're a little bit early, and I'm afraid they're running a little bit late. I wondered where that took us in the brief history of time. I looked at her list with my talent for reading upside down and read a few names. Ooh, proper actors and actresses, I thought. I walked into the meeting room and met once again the writers, Rob and Doug, and director Ed Bye, who gave me a page of the new Red Dwarf script. If you could just read this, he said. I read it and laughed. Out loud, he smiled. Oh, right. And see if it makes us laugh, said Doug, because we've read it before. We chatted some more and I left. They had laughed when I read it. I'm sure they had. 3 days later, my agent rang. I was about to go back into space. Events moved magically fast. First, I had to be checked over by a showbiz doctor to make sure I wasn't about to drop dead and mess up the filming. And a few days later, I met up again with Craig, Danny and Chris to read through the scripts in Acton. Robert Llewellyn had also joined the regular cast and was immediately whisked away to another room with Rob and Doug to work out how to walk and talk as Crichton. I also knew Robert from the comedy circuit, and he was especially memorable for doing his act in tight-fitting black lycra cycling shorts. The first episode to be filmed for Series 3 was called Marooned. This would be rehearsed by the cast from the last week of August. Because Robert and I had been booked only fairly recently for the series, we already had 3 weeks of shows at the very famous Edinburgh Festival, lasting until Saturday the 2nd of September. The producers had agreed we could miss the week's rehearsals, but we both had to be back for the technical run-through in London at 10 a.m. on the Sunday morning. They had arranged for a taxi to pick me up at the flat in Edinburgh, take me to the airport where I'd pick up my tickets, catch the 7 a.m. plane to Heathrow and be whisked in another taxi straight to the Acton rehearsal rooms. Robert was doing a play in the assembly rooms in the late afternoon, and I was doing a show with comic and poet Henry Normal in the same room at midnight. This last Saturday night in Edinburgh was party night for the performers, and our rented flat was close to where this last night party was happening. Even if I'd gone to bed straight after the show, I would have only got about 4 hours sleep, so it seemed better to stay awake. I'd go to the party, do a bit of early morning packing, have a bath, then wait for the taxi. I arrived back at the flat about 3:30 a.m. and opened my bag. I closed it again and opened it again. No, my keys were definitely not in there. I walked back to the party to find Henry. No sign of him. I went back to the flat and back to the party for the next couple of hours, till eventually, feet throbbing, I slumped down on the freezing cold concrete steps outside the flat. I was marooned. At 6 a.m, just as it was getting light, a taxi arrived to take me to the airport. Been waiting long? He asked. All night. Any luggage? Yep, but I can't get to it. I arrived on time at the tech run, and with a deep breath, walked into the rehearsal room. It was a casual kind of day. Everyone was wearing jeans or tracksuits. I arrived that Sunday morning wearing high heel shoes, laddered tights, the remains of last night's makeup, and a blue frilly 50s cocktail dress. I thought I'd make a bit of an effort, I said, since it's the first show. I could see in their faces that, just for a moment there, they really believed me. Between the second and third series, then, Holly the computer underwent a sex change from male to female, from Norman to myself. The storyline was that the male Holly had fallen so much in love with his counterpart Hilly that he'd changed his face to hers. The senile, bald old git, Holly, was now younger, blonde and female. Holly was somehow neuter, but in her own way, still the senile, bald old git. The writers were always at pains to make sure Holly would not be a dumb blonde or an Essex girl, even though that would have been the easiest option. The dry and deadpan style was very much like my own stand-up, and physically too, the only movement was in my facial expressions. Technically, it would have been possible to record the Holly part separately, then slot the lines into the show afterwards, but the producers had decided from the very beginning that Holly would be part of the same rehearsal and recording schedules as the rest of the cast and part of the team. The recording of a season of 6 episodes for me was 6 weeks, although the rest of the cast started filming on location 2 weeks earlier. Craig especially used to revel in any possible danger or chance of injury, and I was often glad that all I had to do was sit on the chair. At the end of the 3rd series, the Manchester studios were closed for refurbishment. We didn't know where the next series would be, or if there would be one.